our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon her glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not. This crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again.
And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
Crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say,
good evening, Remnant. Be right there. Good evening, Remnant, and welcome. 7x70 coming to you live this Thursday night, September 12th, 2024. Thank you for joining us, and sorry for the little delay. Had a little, I think we got a little spiritual battle going on, but had a little delay here, but we are here now and live coming to you from it's been a beautiful day here. Been down at the print shop most of today. But started out here this morning and kind of finished up here, and been a beautiful day. Red flag warning, been unseasonably warm here as summer's winding down and fall is just a week around the corner. But we're here, got the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, for the privilege to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord. I certainly don't deserve it, but I thank you that I'm here. Guide and direct me, and Lord, let me be an encouragement to your people. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes, opening the eyes of the remnant, Lord, for thank you for being faithful to your people, to your word, that, Lord, that even when we are untrue and unfaithful, Lord, you are faithful, and we thank you for that. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight, Lord. Strengthen me and give me the the thoughts to think, the words to say, Lord, to be an encouragement to your people, to let them know what's going on, and Lord, hopefully to help them, Lord, in this day, in these trying times. Thank you, Lord, as this hurricane has rolled through, that it wasn't devastating. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. And got a phone call today. I want to kind of start out with that tonight. Got a phone call today. Left a man on the ministry down in southern Louisiana. Called, left a message, and said, hey, thanks for the prayers. We got through. Said the power was off, but it's back on. Everything looks good. And didn't hear of any deaths or major damage. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he is faithful. Hurricane Francine did rip through, 100-mile-an-hour winds, 6 inches of rain an hour. I heard, I saw some of those reports. This evening, 400,000 out of power. So, folks, keep those down there in Louisiana in prayer. Just imagine, and it's probably not too hard to imagine, but just remember what it's like when you flip that light switch and nothing happens. And you turn the water faucets on and nothing comes out. And the fans aren't working and the phones aren't charging and whatnot. And so keep them in prayer. We've certainly prayed that, you know, that God draws his people closer to him during this time. Maybe it's supposed to be a time of quiet, a time of solace, of thinking, remembering, maybe using candle power or flashlights to look back at the Bible. And or maybe just going to bed early, praying in the dark, whatever it may be. But we are thankful that Hurricane Francine was not worse than it was. Certainly saw lots of trees down, lots of damage, lots of flooding, but haven't heard of much loss of life. And so we're thankful for that. And we sent an urgent prayer request out today. Miss Kathy was asking for prayers for her her daughter-in-law, her son, her unborn grandchild, granddaughter. I think the mother's about 3 or 4 months along, and the doctors are saying there's all kind of problems, and the baby won't live, and just all types of issues. And I guess the mother's considering aborting. And so Miss Kathy asked for prayers. We prayed last night, and we pray again today. And, Lord, we just ask for your intercession. We know nothing is too great for you. We know that children are a gift from God. And so, Lord, we thank you for those gifts. We ask your forgiveness for us, Lord, for us falling short as parents and as leaders and as Christians and stewards in the land. Lord, forgive us. Forgive our fathers, Lord, our forefathers. Forgive us for letting it get this bad. But, Lord, we pray for your intervention, for your moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for life and life abundant. A perfect life for this as yet unborn child that you knew before she was formed in the womb. And so we pray for your intervention, your moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We praise you for it and ask your peace and comfort to be upon all involved. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Folks, didn't know if you watched the debate Tuesday night. I didn't. Oh, I saw a couple little highlights, but really haven't had time today or yesterday, and don't know that I really care to. I've seen a couple of highlights. Thought I'd talk about a couple of those tonight because they fit in with what we talked about Sunday morning a little bit, and what we talked about Saturday morning on Coffee with the Wranglers a bit. So I thought that it'd be appropriate to talk about it a little bit. You know, one of the things is, it was asked, but I don't think it was answered, and is it, are you better off now than maybe 3 years ago? And, you know, if you try to Google and find stuff on that, you'll see, oh, President Reagan mentioned something about that about 30 years ago, and that's what comes up. That's what's important, is that's where the social medias want to take you to, the Google searches and whatnot, but... You know, are you financially better off? Now, spiritually, I hope that you are better off than you were 3 or 4 years ago. I would like to say that I am. I feel that I am. I feel that I'm closer to God than I was 3 years ago. I feel that I've grown a little bit, that I'm maybe a little bit more mature spiritually. I hope so. I hope I'm a little more patient. I hope I'm a little kinder. I hope I forgive a little bit more. I hope that I am spiritually a little better off than 3 years ago. But you know, that's about where I have to draw the line. And so as we look at who have been our leaders and what's happened in this nation the last 3 years, you know, are you better off? Are your finances better off or not? Do you have more money in the bank? Do you have more savings? Do you have more money saved up? Or is this, you know, fuel that's been three times as much as it was 3 years ago? Has that impacted you pretty hard? How's your grocery bill been these last 3 years versus before then? You know, interest rates aren't much better. Most people have a house, pay interest on a house or a car loan or something like that. Interest rates certainly aren't better. How about insurance costs? Most of us have insurance. I know my insurance costs, mine have doubled. I haven't done things to cause my insurance costs to double, but they've doubled. You know, energy costs, how about that? Oh, the power bill keeps going up. Our local power company, they've got a petition into the state now, need more rate increases, got to do it. You know, one thing on energy costs I've seen is people's energy bills go up and they ask why, and it finally comes down to, well, solar and wind energy are more expensive than coal and nuclear. And so we power companies have to pay more to get energy from the sun, the solar and wind. So they don't just absorb that. They pass those costs on to me and you. And that's one of the reasons energy costs are not better. One of the reasons. Fuel costs, certainly not better. Going into this winter, you know, a lot of people still heat with fuel oil and things like that. And it's going to be an astronomical cost this year going into it. Sure looks like it. How about your concern with foreign nations? Is that better? How do you feel about, you know, this ongoing war in the Ukraine and Russia? And you know, they're talking nukes and all types of stuff. That's not slowing down. How about Hamas and the Israelis in Gaza? That's not slowing down. They're still just, the Israelis are doing their best to genocide as many Palestinians as they can. Their goal is to wipe them all off. Do you have a concern with that? You know, you go back 3 years, we had 4 years of relative world peace. We didn't have war in Gaza. We didn't have war in Ukraine for about 4 years there. It's just a fact. If I'm wrong, call and correct me. But it's just a fact. It's just how it was. How's your health insurance if you have health insurance? You know, I would like to think my health, I know my health is better than a year ago, but I would like to think my health is better. I'm not too concerned about health insurance, but there's many out there that are. And just the cost of living, the cost of anything and everything is much worse than it was 3.5 years ago. And so it's just how it is for everybody. I mean, there's just no getting around it. And so, you know, our economy, you look at out at our economy, interest rates haven't come down. Southern California, I saw this rolling blackouts again. Summer heat wave is hitting them. You know, they get a little later than everybody else, but their electric grid can't handle the summer AC usage. But they're wanting all electric vehicles by 2030. It's insanity. But just the economy itself, it doesn't hold to that. Saw this headline, Big Lots, 1,400 bankruptcies. Or they're 1,400 locations, and they're filing for bankruptcy. Big Lots. They might be kind of a regional place. I don't know that we have any out here or haven't had any in a while. But another major nationwide retailer going under. I think the latest restaurants, I saw this, we don't have these here either, but BurgerFi and Anthony's coal-fired pizza and wings, shutting down. Can't keep it going. And yet we hear from these talking heads that the economy's never been better. That they won't answer, well, are you better off financially? And not talking about the election a whole lot, but one other thing, and then we're going to move on, is I guess it came out that now Taylor Swift is endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris for president. And so the millions of her followers, I think, is the assumption that now since she has publicly endorsed Kamala Harris, that millions of her followers will as well. Well, you know, Taylor Swift is a billionaire. She doesn't have to worry about gas prices going up, doubling. She doesn't have to worry about food prices doubling. Not at all. And you know, she's a billionaire who made her money singing about making bad choices. Oh, my boyfriend, I had the wrong boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know I've ever listened to one of her songs all the way through. But at least that part, nothing's changed. You know, she's made her money. She's a satanic pop singer. And so who cares who she supports? But I just think it's ironic that, you know, again, she's made her money singing about making bad choices. But at least by endorsing Harris, nothing's changed. It's just another bad choice. That's my opinion. Most people have one or two of those, but anyway, and it just is. The more you look at what is going on in the world and in this country, the worse it gets. The more ridiculous it gets. Now, we talked a little bit Saturday, and we talked Sunday morning a little bit about Invasion USA. No, not the old 1980s Chuck Norris movie, although we might need something like that to come back. But we talked about, are the migrant gangs taking over America? And the answer is yes. In certain areas, they are. You know, the MS-13, we've heard of them. We've seen the pictures. You see the pictures of these Hispanics, for lack of a better term, tattooed all up, that they just don't care. They commit brutal crimes, these MS-13s. No big deal. You don't hear much about it. Well, this latest is this, see if I got it down, Trinda Aragua gang, I guess. And it kind of popped up in Denver here just the last week or two. About these Venezuelan migrants, the videos, everybody saw them, of them taking over, kicking people out of this apartment complex, these armed Venezuelan gangs in America. And some of the details that these Venezuelans have increased Denver's non-citizen population by 12%, said a handful of rundown Aurora apartment buildings and a Venezuelan gang had become a focal point of the U.S. immigration debate. The apartment's landlord had said that members of the gang, Trinda Arangua, took possession of the buildings, shook down residents for rent money, and chased out the property managers. And beat the property manager, put her in the hospital, and that's what finally got the attention. But come to find out that they've known about this since 2022. This has been going on for a couple of years. And the best that the Denver, that the Colorado governor, the queer polis, the best he could say is, oh, it's all in your imagination. It's nothing like this is going on. Well, you know, he hadn't said much since it's come out that, you know what, it's not in our imagination. It is going on. There is lawlessness down there. And he hadn't come out and said a whole lot more after that. How about that? Just hasn't. Hadn't had a whole lot much more to say. Well, see, when you got a homosexual, the Bible says he's insane anyway. He's out of his mind. He's got a deranged, demented mind. If you're going to believe the word of God, and I do. But you know, it's not only in Colorado. Saw this headline today, Texas, El Paso, the Gateway Hotel in El Paso, same thing. Got the same gang, has taken over it, kicked people out. They've seen this going on for a couple of years. But it's just finally, you know, finally there's a little bit of common sense that seems to be rearing its head again, coming back around to where you've got these liberal mayors and liberal commissioners and liberal police chiefs that are finally getting pushed to the point that they just can't cover it up anymore. And the lies that they spread are just, they're just not holding water anymore. This one place, this Gateway Hotel in El Paso, said it had, the report I saw today said they had had 693 police calls in 2 years. Okay? That's almost 350 a year. That's more than a call a day. More than, right? Or right at that. Right about that. Yeah. Right about that. For 2 years. Well, at least you're hearing about it now. Now, you may not, you may just be listening and say, well, I don't care about that, blah, blah. You don't live in El Paso. You don't live down in Aurora, Colorado. But if you did, you'd sure know about it. You'd sure care about it. Does it have to be in your neighborhood, in your town, for it to matter? Aren't we to love our neighbor as ourself? You know, Davy Crockett loved his neighbor. He loved his Texas neighbors, and that's why he went to Texas. Because he knew that if they didn't stand up against tyranny in Texas, it would overrun everywhere else, or at least it had the threat to. And so you got to stand up to it. And I'm just glad to see that at least after a couple of years, now not everybody's been aware of this, but it's the awareness is increasing, and that's what's good. See, people are waking up. You've heard us talk about that, that people are waking up to these things. These things have been going on. We've been harping on them, trying to help wake people up about them. And now people are waking up. They're seeing, hey, wait a minute, that we can't keep allowing this. And I don't mean to come against all the police. I know some down there, the Aurora Police Department and some of those in there are doing the absolute best they can. But, you know, they're fighting the criminals, and they're fighting the criminals in their so-called injustice system as well, that are on the side of the criminals, that have the policeman's hands tied. And I wouldn't bet that it's not like that down in El Paso as well. I guess I should say, not use a double negative, but that I would bet that it's like that in El Paso. But you know, we've been praying. We've been praying for the sorcery to cease, for people's eyes to be opened. And God hears when people pray. He does. He does. Now, there's a biblical reason for this. You can, folks, if you want to talk to your friends and family about this, you could, couple scriptures real quick. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 21 verse 8 says, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." And that really is a choice we have. See, and that's nothing new. And it ties right into, have you ever heard of repent or perish? It ties right into that. Choose. Choose you this day. See, God allows us to do that. Choose. Choose you this day. And see, guess what? Tomorrow you're going to get another choice. I hope you make the right choice today, and I hope you make the right choice tomorrow as well. I hope you've made that right choice, and I hope you continue to. But it's Jeremiah 21:8. Okay, Jeremiah 21:8. That's not a hard one to remember. And another one, a couple verses here, Judges 10. Judges 10, verses 6 through 10. I'll read these. I got them here. Let me hit it here. Judges 10, 6 through 10 says, "Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals and the Ashtoreth, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the sons of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. Thus they forsook the Lord and did not serve him," did not serve the Lord. And so when this happened, let's read the rest of it. "The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he sold them." The Lord sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the sons of Ammon. They afflicted and crushed the sons of Israel that year. For 18 years they afflicted all the sons of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in Gilead in the land of the Amorites. Now, you know, the scripture says that what was written then was for us today. And we see this same thing happening. And so I hope that we're able to give you that little bit of ammunition, maybe that little bit of nudge, when you're talking with your friends and family, that you can let them know, listen, this is why we're being invaded. This is why the MS-13 gangs are here. This is why the Venezuelan gangs are here. It's because God has brought them here. You know, they're not the only ones. Oh, it came up in the debate about, they're eating, what was it? They're eating dogs. People are eating the pets in Springfield. Boy, the memes have come out on that. And the enemies tried to shut it down, but guess what? From Springfield, Ohio. An Ohio town that has seen its population swell with thousands of Haitian refugees and have had to battle cultural differences, driving practices as it adjusts to its new reality. We've got an influx of folks that have come in. I think we're a little bit shocked that we've had 20,000 Haitians come into this community of 60,000. And this is what the city people have said, okay? Local residents have claimed that Haitian refugees have taken geese to slaughter and eat. Pets are missing. One more example, people said it played out at a local Walmart where people showed up at Walmart on Saturday morning, went into the bathroom, stripped down, and started bathing themselves. Yeah, I'd say that's a little cultural difference. Here's a quote from an Ohio Republican Senate candidate, Bernie Moreno. He says, "These open border policies have flooded Springfield with thousands of illegal Haitians who are sucking the social services away from our town and destroying this small town here in Ohio." He says, "We need to deport illegals, not invite them to wreak havoc on our communities." Now, that's from boots on the ground. That's from a guy that's living there because it's come to Springfield, Ohio. I've been there before. My wife's from not too far from there. I've been to Springfield, beautiful little town. Of course, I haven't seen it with 20,000 Haitians in it. I bet it's not as quite as quiet or beautiful today. But that's what these people are saying. Now, the media will come up, they're not doing blah. They want to make fun of President Trump for saying that. Well, that's because guess what? The people like Taylor Swift and Kamala Harris and Waltz, and they ain't living in that town. They're not. It's not their pets or the ducks from their park that are getting stolen and eaten. The driving there as well, and we've all seen that, the driving. The article goes on and talks about how this Haitian wrecked into a school bus, killed a little kid, injured 20 more. Oh, I don't know. I don't drive. I what about that? You know, who knows? Oh, it wasn't your little kid that was killed? It wasn't your grandchild? So it's no big deal, right? What if it was? Is that what has to happen? Is that what has to happen to cause it, to cause us to get excited about it? if you want to talk about some false gods, point your people to the Monkey Man in Houston, USA. The new Monkey Man statue. Oh, they call it Hanuman. It's a, what is it? It's a Hindu god. Yeah, and they've got the third largest statue in the country they just put up in Houston. August 15th at Sugarland Sri Ashtakalakshmi Temple, whatever that is. I can't say it. Oh, Hindus consider Hanuman an immortal being known for his devotion to the Hindu god Rama and virtues like self-control. Oh, well, that's good. That's good. It's a god of self-control. So let's have him there. Yeah, that's okay. You know, Exodus 20, verse 3 and verse 5, God says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." You may think, why? You know, why would God, why would he care? What does it matter? Why would he care? What does it matter? Because he's jealous. That's one of his names, is jealous. Now, we understand jealousy. We understand jealous. We do. And many times in this Judeo-Christian society that we seem to live in today, I don't know how many sermons you hear out there about God being jealous. Jealous for his people. You want to know why it's important to understand the Anglo-Israel message? To understand who God's people are? He says, "My people are my inheritance." Let's take a look at the Song of Moses. I think that's where I want to go to. Deuteronomy 32. You know, we talk a lot about Deuteronomy 28, and that's a great... I got to share that with a brother on the phone the other day, and he was just, "Is that really what it says there?" he said. And I thought, man, have you not listened to this ministry for the last 35 years? I didn't say that, though, but I thought it. And but I was patient with him, and we talked about it a little bit. But Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, verse 9, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance." If you're the allotment of God's inheritance, do you think it's important to know who that is? Yeah, it is. It's very important. So I encourage you, be familiar with Deuteronomy 28. When he starts out saying, if you obey the Lord your God, this is how I'll bless you. And how he blessed this nation for the first 300 years that it was in existence. That the people he brought here were outcasts at the time, but they were of the same mind, and they were of the same stock. They were of the same race of people that founded. That's who founded this nation. Now, it's certainly not politically correct to talk about that today. No, because we have become a blended amalgamation of everything under the sun. And so that's just how it is today. But it doesn't change the truth of God's word. It doesn't change that, as Deuteronomy 32:15 says, "But Israel grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek, and you have forsaken God who made you and scorned the rock of his salvation." Because see, that's what we've done. Red and yellow, black and white. We have scorned our God and our Savior. And said, we know better. And so God says, yeah, we'll see how you deal. Springfield, see how you doing with 20,000 Haitians? How you doing, El Paso, with the gangs taking over? Denver, it wasn't enough to have a demented governor. Well, let me bring some gangs in there and let them take over. Kick your people out. Let's see how you like that. And it's all over. like I started out? Are you better off physically, financially, economically now than 3 years ago, or is it worse? Oh, it's worse. Now, I'm not saying electing Trump is going to make all that better. No, the only thing that's going to save this nation, you know, Brother Paul talks a lot about, you know, we can't go back. There ain't no going back. I saw a thing, a post that it was 88 cent gas in 1988. I remember that. I remember that. See, but there ain't no going back. And you know, I play that song by Carl Kling, "We Want This Country Back." You know we do, but we can't go back. We have to go forward. There is no going back. But we do have the opportunity to go forward. To go forward in repentance. To go forward in doing better. To go forward in upholding God's laws. In obeying God. Hey, it blessed this nation for the first 300 years. It's just been these last 100 that, you know, like in Egypt, there has arisen a Pharaoh, a government, a people, a shadow government, whatever you want to call it, that know not Joseph. It's a parasite that has arisen that knows not Joseph or Joseph's God. And they want to take, you know, that's how it was in Egypt. Joseph came in and saved Egypt, saved the land from famine and the people. And they were blessed and they multiplied greatly for hundreds of years. Oh, and then they got put into slavery. See, then it all shifted. See, the parasite came in when the host got good and healthy and fat and sassy and became the multitudes. Well, then the parasite comes in and starts sucking off that and living off that because they can't produce anything on their own. That's how it was in Egypt. The Bible says it was the Assyrian that came in and did that. It was the Assyrian that oppressed them in Egypt. It was the Assyrian that came in and weaseled and worked his way into the positions of government and then eventually got it moved into the position of Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, didn't care about Joseph or Joseph's God. And before you know it, the people that saved Egypt were slaves in Egypt. Do you not see the parallels with this nation? Well, see, if you don't think that this nation was founded by God's people, you won't see that parallel. Just as God was working in Egypt with his people, God is working in this land, formed this land with his people. It's in all our founding documents. It's in every state constitution, if you care to go look. But today, and I would say for a little over 100 years now, we have had a Pharaoh, we have had a government, we have had a, just like the Assyrians came in. Now, they didn't come in and do it all at once in Egypt. No, it was a course of 400 years between Joseph and Moses. Now, they weren't in bondage and slaves for the full 400 years. But that was a process, just as we have seen a process here in this nation. A process since the early 1900s of this people that know not Joseph. You could say that know not the God of Israel, that know not Jesus Christ, okay? But have come into this nation and have weaseled into positions of authority and taken over and own, oh, just small institutions in the country like the Federal Reserve and many government offices and Hollywood and the banks and financial centers in the country. And they are a people that know not Jesus Christ. And they've blended in, and they're parasites. And you know, a parasite doesn't want a healthy host. For the parasite to thrive, the host has to be sick, right? You know, if you got a real sickly cow or a cat or dog, whatever it is in your pets, and they're real sickly and lethargic and they just exist and they, oh man, they're just there. What do? You check them for worms. You check them for parasites. And usually you'll find out that you got a sick animal, a sick pet, a sick feed animal, whatever it is, cow, goat, horse. They probably got parasites. They might have worms. So you treat them for that. And hopefully they get better. Well, see, as the animal gets better, the parasite gets worse, right? You get fewer worms, the animal gets better, feels better, puts on weight. The eyes look better. The coat gets better. They're more energetic. Maybe the cow's giving more milk, or the beef cow's putting on weight better, or your dog's up and at it again, whatever it may be. But you see the difference. Again, that when the parasite, for the parasite to thrive, the host has to be ill, has to be sick. But when the host is well, when the host is good and healthy and strong and vibrant, the parasite can't exist. And such is how it is in this nation. It was that way in Egypt. You had a ruler that came up that didn't know Joseph, didn't care about Joseph. Oh, but Joseph saved the land. Don't care. And that's how it is today. We have a people. We have a ruling. We have a shadow government, you might say. No, it's not all of them, but it's those that know not Jesus Christ. And since they don't know him, they don't want anybody else to know him. And that's what we have in many positions of leadership today. And when you look at the parasites, they are doing very well, right? They make money when the stock market goes up, and they make money when the stock market goes down, right? They prosper in good times, and they prosper in bad times. But you know, they steal, kill, and destroy. And people are waking up to that. They desire these 20,000 Haitians to come into Springfield. What do you think the demographics of Springfield are going to be like in 10 years? Well, the demographics like California, like Texas, like Colorado, like every other small town in this nation where we've had the illegals, the invaders, the alien come in and mix and merge eventually. And you have a great change in demographics. Again, because they don't know Jesus and they don't want you to know Jesus. Well, it's just what's going on. It is. Now, in John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And you know, as people wake up to this, they see. They are seeing more and more. We need to continue to pray and continue to be workers in the field to help awaken them, to help plant the seeds, to awaken the people to the truth so it will make them free. I mentioned Sunday morning Ford was waking up, saying no to the lies of electric vehicles, backing off all that quite a bit. I mentioned a Texas gun owner down there in on the border saying more and more women are coming in and buying firearms to protect themselves. And see, that's what it is. They're getting the truth. Hey, the truth is I better have a means to protect myself because the police aren't going to do it. And so there's a bit of freedom there in knowing that that you can, within reason, take care of yourself, protect yourself. No, not pride or haughtiness. Just a knowing, as opposed to being fretful and worried. What are people going to think? They find out I'm carrying a gun. Well, the best thing to do is don't let them find out. Anyway, well, lots going on, Remnant. Lots going on. Plenty to be in prayer about. We hope that you are in prayer over these things. I hope that you are, when we mention these things, it's not to create fear. It's not to be fear mongers, but just to say, hey, did you hear about this? You know, this is going on. We read about it in the Bible. God says he'll do it if we don't obey him. And that should drive us to repentance and to wanting to share the causes, the reasons with our Judea, and we all have them, those Judeo-Christian friends that are just, you know, I'm so glad I know Jesus. And rapture practice is Tuesday night, and I can't wait to be raptured out of this mess. And we have to do all we can, I think, Remnant, to help wake those people up, to help wake them up. You know, Jason mentioned and I guess we could send it out if you want it, but he mentioned we traveled last week and heard an interview, a blog or some type of interview with, it was Tucker Carlson. I encourage you to look it up. Tucker Carlson and John Rich. He's from the, I guess used to be one of the country western groups, Big and Rich or something like that. But it's John Rich and Tucker Carlson. Folks, if you got a chance to look that up and listen to it, I encourage you to do that. There was more biblical truth presented in that interview than I bet in most of the Judeo-Christian churches in this land in the last 40 years. And so I would encourage you to look that up. Tucker Carlson and John Rich from, I think it's just a couple weeks ago. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. And if we can pray for you, you contact us. We'll be glad to pray for you. We hope you'll join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. We'd love to have a cup of coffee with you Saturday morning. So join us right here, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast for Coffee with the Wranglers Saturday morning. We'll talk to you then. God bless and good night.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized your glorious name. America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. Country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights.